Welcome back. I would hazard to say that for all of us, no matter who, life is a journey, and it is up to us to make the most of it. My guest now on the telephone is the son of one of my dearest friends, Shirley Craven, who is just a dynamo and who has lived a very good life. Jack, how are you?
Great, Rick. Wonderful to be here. Really just a privilege. I'm a lifelong Chicagoan, and I'm a big GN fan.
Everybody who grew up in Chicago is a big GN fan. Before we get to your book, Jack, because you're going to be on the whole half hour, I will tell people the title of it is Aliveness Mindset, Lead and Live with More Passion, Purpose, and Joy. You have had a fascinating life up until this point. Can you take me back to your, you know, college and then law school and give the listeners some background in who you are coming up to this point, Jack?
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. I always wanted to be a trial lawyer when I was growing up. I don't know why, but I think there was a book that just got that in my head, and so that was always my plan, and went to Indiana University. And it was really there when I became Rush chairman that I think I really had my first role as being a leader, someone who really had influence and had a big responsibility. And I really loved it. And, back at Indiana are my friends today. And as a matter of fact, we're having a big reunion later this month. And after I went to college, I went to law school right here in Chicago at Kent. And my intention was to be a trial lawyer, and I went into the state's attorney's office.
Mm.
And I really enjoyed it. This is back when Richard Daley and Cecil Partee were the were leading it. And it was really an incredible experience, and I learned so much, and I had to think fast on my feet, and you had to figure it out. And also,
Jack Craven, in that position, you would meet a greater cross-section of humanity, not just in your colleagues at the law school, but the people you were dealing with. That's a real sort of vivid introduction to humanity, don't you think?
You know, Rick, until you said that, I hadn't really considered it, and you are so true.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it's a wonderful experience meeting people from different backgrounds than yours.
Sure. How long were you, you left the state's attorney's office after a while to go into private practice, yes?
Yes, and I was a lawyer for a total of 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And through the progression, I learned that what I imagined it to be compared to what my experience was wasn't the same.
Which I can imagine, and yeah.
I don't think I realized this until later, but when I'm not as invested, if I kind of look at people 10 years older than me and think, do I want to be that person or that role in the company or not, I realize that I didn't. Mm. I didn't want to be a lawyer anymore. And that was a big decision, which I'm grateful that my parents were supportive of. And I decided to go into the family business with my dad, my brother, and my sister. And I really, like we all did, we all just dove into the business and really had to learn every part of it. It was a small family business. We were wholesalers. We'd buy overstocks, closeouts from major manufacturers, and sell them to discount stores across North America.
Oh, wow. Wow. That, too, would expose you to a vast swath of personalities, would it not?
Absolutely. And I really had a great opportunity where, on the one hand, I'm there to sell. That was one of the first things I did, and really established the same rapport I had to establish with people to convince them to join a fraternity is getting them to buy your products and getting them to trust you and that you're an honorable person. And so you really have to navigate personalities and figure out, how do I connect with this person?
And then you how long were you in the family business then?
Over 20 years.
Wow. Wow. And what did you start to realize when that started to, obviously you enjoyed a great deal of it and thrived in that position, but something must have started nagging at you that there was perhaps more?
That's exactly it. And it's one of these things where, you know, when you're in it, you don't think I'm making a transition. You just realize I feel like I'm not as satisfied as I used to be.
Yep.
I feel more burnt out. I'm enjoying less of the days. I'm I'm not really, I guess, really, really, in a word, I wasn't really feeling fulfilled. And I didn't know what was missing other than I wasn't sure what I needed to get back that passion that I felt was missing.
When do you ask, so this book is fascinating on a number of levels. It starts with you asking a question. I'm going to get into the, hold on, I've underlined so many parts of this book. chapter one begins like this. Let me ask you a question, and I'm going to ask you this question, Jack Craven, because we're at the time. You've been with the family business for 20 years. You've been a lawyer. You've been a salesman. You've been a public defender. Let me ask you a question. This is from the book. It's a simple question, but an important one. When have you felt most alive? I don't mean alive in the biological sense. I mean alive on the inside. Truly alive, fully alive, most alive. I never want this feeling to end kind of alive. You were kind of asking yourself that very question, even though you hadn't formed the question yet, correct?
That's true. And I think that somewhere along the way, I wasn't feeling that aliveness at work. It was something that was missing. And what I really first became aware of was as I began to take stock in my life and take ownership of, rather than blaming others for what was missing in my life, what am I not doing to get the passion that I want? What do I need to do? How do I need to change to get what I want in life?
Don't you find, Jack, this is a little off topic, don't you find too often that people who are dissatisfied or not doing well in any kind of, in a certain pursuit, will go out of their way to try to find someone else to blame for that?
That was me, Rick.
Yeah.
So the answer is yeah.
Yeah.
And I did a really good job of blaming other people. And I'll share this, that it's coming from a place of fear when we tend to do that. And the results are rarely, you're not going to get what you want if you're sitting around blaming others. And it's an excuse for you to not do something hard to get what you most want.
Boy, that's well put. That's well put. So after you left, take me back to the time where you were mulling over these life questions after your 20 years with the family firm. What are you doing to occupy your time at that point?
Well, I had been running the family business for probably 15 years at that time. Mm. And I, like I said, I wasn't getting the same satisfaction. I joined a group called Young Presidents Organization.
I've known many members of that amazing group. What compelled you to join that group?
A good friend of mine had just joined, and he said, you need to be part of what's, you know, the acronym is YPO.
Sure.
That, you know, it's a peer advisory group. It's a peer support group of other CEOs who understand the challenges of being a CEO, and this is a safe, non-judgmental environment to kind of share what your challenges are and to support one another and to problem solve.
What did that give you? Were you at first? Were you at first? I know some people who've gone to their first YPO meeting and not going to another one. What was it that appealed to you?
That the wealth of knowledge of the people in this room was literally, Rick, it blew the roof off of what I thought was possible in life.
Yeah,
that I had been thinking small. If I'm being candid.
Wow. And so it became not only, obviously, Jack Craven, instructive for you, but you took it, especially in this book, you seem to have taken it one step further where it became inspirational. Am I making too much of that? Or
that is not hyperbole. It is accurate.
Good.
And it was one of the members recommended I attend a leadership retreat by a group called the Conscious Leadership Group. And that group was a radical responsibility group of taking really taking responsibility for the results in your life, including the results that you don't want, and inviting you to think, what do I need to do differently to get what I want?
Mm. Mm. And how long was it, Jack Craven, before you then sat down and told your wife and kids, you know, I've learned an awful lot here, and I want to put it down on pages that I want to put between the covers of a book?
That, you know, from the time I went to that retreat to the time I thought about the book was probably, you know, almost 10 years.
Good, good.
I think that it was really that all of the practices that I took in that journey from leaving the family business, starting my new career as an executive coach, helping other leaders feel more fulfilled, practicing as a new coach for a while, and refining a daily practice that I had kind of created from many different, whether it's books or magazines,
sure,
or thought leaders.
Many sources, yeah.
That's many sources. And then once I had the idea, it took 3 years to write the book.
Wow.
That it took that long to really refine it, where I felt the message conveyed my voice and could really resonate with people and have impact.
Well, we're going to take a short little break, Jack Craven. I'm going to keep you on after a short commercial break and keep you on till the top of the hour again. Yeah, Jack has a website, a pretty cool, nice website, very instructive and intelligent. It's Jack Craven, JACKCRAVEN.com. We'll be back in a couple minutes, and I'm going to read a paragraph or two and ask a few questions about the 7 principles of aliveness, which I found fascinating. Welcome back. I have a few more minutes with Jack Craven, the as you've been listening to him, the intelligent, but intelligence and thoughtfulness do not always go together, Jack Craven. I'll tell you that right now. His book, his first book, is Aliveness Mindset: Lead and Live with More Passion, Purpose, and Joy. I don't know who wouldn't want to do that. You write in the book, Jack, that learning to walk in aliveness is primarily about internal changes, not external changes. You don't necessarily have to quit your job, close your company, fire your board, sell your house, move to an exotic country, buy a yacht, take up skydiving, or anything else so dramatic. However, when you change on the inside, things often change on the outside. Those changes are up to you. You have full autonomy over the process. I think that's one of the most important paragraphs in this book. How hard was it to write this book, Jack? It's a very thoughtful gathering of life lessons, in essence. Was it difficult to write?
It was. Well, I never did it before, and it was incredibly hard to communicate some of the things that were in my head, but
yeah,
in a coherent way that others would understand.
Sure. Sure. Did it grow out of some of the stuff that you were doing as an executive coach? I find that profession fascinating, actually, because everybody thinks, oh, well, every executive knows everything about everything, right? And that's not true, is it?
No, and I really pride myself that what I try to do is be practical and impactful, where a challenge that I faced resonates with challenges that other people face. And what I try to do are the things that have helped me, and I've maybe refined a tool or an approach. I really try to share all of those with my clients and the reader in this book so that they can have impact on their lives, so that they can take responsibility, so that where I kind of had to go through the forest and I was blindfolded, I didn't know how to get where I wanted, but I just kept pushing. I want to help others do so in a more easeful way, where I can tell them these are some tried and true practices that really had an impact with me, and I've seen them have an impact with the people that I work with.
Well, I think you also bring to this, and I know I started concentrating some of the first part of this interview with your background. I think your background, you're not some kind of guy who goes, yeah, I took a bunch of psychology courses in college, and then I decided to teach you all how to live. You have lived, and I think that is a crucial element, not only to your success in executive coaching, but what will be the success of this book. That is crucially important. Where people might be able to learn a great deal from your book, it is freighted with your own experiences, and I think that is much more meaningful for people. Do you not?
That's what the whole purpose and the hope of the book was, right?
Yeah.
You're exactly right.
Mm-hmm. How has it been received? And who am I the only person to have read it so far?
No,
I know your mom has. I'm sure your mom has.
My mom has been very supportive, and I'm certainly appreciative of her encouragement along the way. And I really have been overwhelmed by the stories that I hear of people who have bought the book. They've then decided that they want to send it out to their friends or mm-hmm. significant people in their lives. I've had people reach out from India, from Puerto Rico,
wow.
from all parts of the world. And it's really kind of incredible to think that something that I created in my house here in the Chicago area is resonating with people all over the world. Mm. And I'm really overcome with it. And when I get a text or an email, Rick, that makes me feel alive, that I am having a difference and making a difference in people's lives. It's
wow.
everything I ever wanted.
Boy, you're a lucky man, Jack Craven. I want to go through, in the 5-6 minutes we have left, if we could go through what I found very intriguing, the 7 principles of aliveness. And you can define them for me. Ownership.
Ownership is taking responsibility for your life. Ownership is taking responsibility for your day-to-day experience. And ownership is deciding, what is it I want in life, and what are you willing to do to get it?
Number 2, openness.
Openness is another way of saying curious, that I am going to notice that I can be attached to being right about a lot of things, and I'm going to shift toward greater openness and curiosity in whatever interaction I have.
Number 3, awareness.
Yes, awareness to me is the first step to any change. In other words, if you are in a state of reactivity or if you are in a state of blaming someone else, you become aware that I'm in a reactive state, and then from there you have a choice. I can stay in reactivity or I could try to get more present and operate from a place of trust.
Mm. These are great. And you do expand on them in much more detail in the book than we're doing on the radio. But nevertheless, it's giving you people out there a taste of Jack's book. Authenticity, which I find terribly intriguing.
Rick, I think a lot of people say that they want to be authentic, and yet they don't know necessarily how to get there. And what I often find is that authenticity is more about, what do I need to remove? Some limiting beliefs or obligations or worldviews that are a way for me to gain approval from others rather than to allow the real me to be accepted by myself or accepted by others. So I try to really draw that out to allow people to feel like this is the real me.
Mm. This one has a million ways to be implemented, I think. Courage.
Whenever we're making big change, that's going to entail most likely having hard conversations with people you really care about, mm-hmm. likely impacting your professional career or impacting people that are the closest to you. And there's going to be a challenge to it. And you're going to need courage to face your fear. And that the whole point of this book is that when you feel that you're alive, it gives you the courage to overcome fear, obstacles, and resistance.
Well put. Number 6, tenacity.
Tenacity and courage to me run hand in hand.
Yep.
Courage is the strength to persevere, and tenacity is you're going to have to keep at it a long time so that you can reach your goal.
And finally, number 7, love.
Yeah, that was one that it was the last one I added in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And what I really discovered is I was hearing all the stories from my clients about when they feel alive and thinking about my own. I realized that you can't feel alive if you're not expressing love, if your heart isn't open.
Yep.
And that can show up in just showing that you care about people. It can show up when you give someone your full attention and full presence in a non-judgmental way. And so we can all bring more love without even having to express it, we can bring it in our actions and our intentions.
Jack Craven, the book again is Aliveness Mindset, Lead and Live with More Passion, Purpose, and Joy. He does dedicate the book to someone. It goes to that number 7 on the list. He just says, to my wife and partner in all things, Judy, thanks for changing my life, my love forever. Jack Craven, great success with this book, and obviously, you've probably been asked to speak about it at various places, yes? Yes?
I have been and continue to. I have clients in the area that I've been asked to speak, or I'm going to lead a book club. I'm doing that not only in the Chicago area, in Puerto Rico. I have a following through clients and wow. other relationships. And it's something I'm so passionate about, and this is really what I want to be known for and something I want to do as long as I'm alive.
Wow, that's a bold goal, but I think you're well on your way to meeting it, Jack Craven. Again, Jack has a website, Jack Craven, JACKCRAVEN.com. Jack, it's a pleasure to meet you. Give your wonderful mom, Shirley, a big hug for me, will you?
Will do. Rick, this is really a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Me
Have
too.
A great
Thank
night.
You. Take care.